Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And welcome back to America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify. Please subscribe to our podcast, and we would appreciate a decent rating. 5 stars would be certainly appreciated. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find them online at OFT-AFT.org. And that toll-free number, you heard me talking about the fact that they still have not reached an agreement to help the millions of people that are jobless in this country. The unemployment benefits actually ran out last week. These were the benefits afforded by the CARES Act, passed by the House and the Senate and signed by the president back in March. The number to call to get your senators to act is 866-832-1560. 866-832-1560. And I was just talking about what labor federations are doing in America to get the attention of lawmakers. Let's go to our live line right now. Welcome Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. Dorsey, I was talking about your brothers and sisters in South Florida, where they brought out the giant rat, the inflatable rat, to get the attention of Marco Rubio and Rick Scott, the respective senators down there. I was just wondering, I would imagine you used that rat in years past. It's got to be a pretty effective tool, don't you think?
He's made a few appearances before, and I'll tell you a quick story to kind of kick us off. A couple of years ago, there was a really nasty teacher strike here in Reynoldsburg. And the funny thing about the teacher strike, and I'm sure they're pretty similar to a lot of other unions, where you have some really radical people, and then you have some people that are on the picket line, and they're like, I'm here, but, you know, they're on their phone, and they're Facebooking and whatever. So myself and some of our organizers and some of our reps went and walked the picket line with some of the Reynoldsburg teachers, and they had picket lines set up at all the different schools. It's a very large district, so they had several different picket lines, you know. And like I said, you go to one picket line, you got some guys, and they're kind of there, and they're sitting in their lawn chairs with their signs. Then you go to some other ones, and they're marching, and they got the signs, and they're chanting, and they're clapping. And you're just like, wow. So we were at one of the picket lines, one of the more, you know, progressive ones, I guess you would say. And one of the teachers came up to us and said, hey, said, thanks for being out here with us. Says, aren't you guys the building trades guys? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, aren't you guys that have that big rat? And one of our organizers said, yeah, that's us. And they're like, the guy was like, well, bring that out here tomorrow. We want that thing. And I'm like, okay. So we leave, and I'm thinking about it, right? And I'm talking to one of our organizers, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm like, you're more than welcome to do with that thing what you want. I said, but let me give you some advice. I said, they have a picket captain at the main, you know, at the main teachers union hall. I said, why don't you go and talk to that picket captain first? I said, because I don't want anything, you know, crazy, or I don't want this rat to end up in the news or something. I said, who in the heck knows where this thing's going to end up if you just turn this over to somebody on the line? He's like, yeah, yeah, you're right. So the next morning I'm driving into work and I'm listening to a local news radio station I get my news and weather from, and Tina Thomas Manning at the time was the superintendent, and she was on there being interviewed because she was ticked off because she got up that morning to go into the office and there was this giant rat outside her house outside the front yard. So I called our organizer. I'm like, hey, man, did you give that rat to the teachers? Nope, didn't do it. I said, well, there's reports of a giant rat outside the superintendent's house. Nope, not our rat. I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, so if I go back to the office and I open our gang box and I look in there, our rat's going to be in there. Yep, he'll be in there resting cozily. But, yeah, he'll be in there. That's not our rat. And of course it was, but, you know, just a funny story about it. And so there's even a site on Twitter, called Scabby the Rat, where you can follow, the rat around different areas. And of course it's used in Chicago a lot, and they pull him out and you can kind of travel with him and see where he's going and why he's where he is. So
yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
It can be an effective tool. And I tell you what, whether people are pro-union or anti-union or for the picket lines or not, it's amazing when you blow that thing up how many people want to come out and get a picture with it.
Right.
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, we had it in front of a contractor's office a few years ago, and the office staff were coming out, and of course they were ticked off when they were there, but, you know, after they told us they were ticked off, they were like, can I get a picture with that thing? You know, so has elicits all kinds of different responses, I guess I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Scabby the rat.
Scabby the rat, yes.
Yeah. You want to get their attention, you got to think outside the box, and that's one way
that's
to
exactly
do it.
Exactly right.
No question. So how are we doing in Central Ohio? Is everybody getting their PPE? Are the workers safe on the job? What's the latest down there, Dorsey?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, I know we've been talking throughout this thing, and it seems like at the beginning we had some issues with some generals and some construction managers that were, you know, probably like some of the people in society, you know, what is this thing? You know, this is crap. This is a hoax. And we're kind of like sloughing it off. And we had an outbreak here or there, and we had a few members test positive. And seems like I haven't heard of a positive test in quite a while. A lot of our members, you go out on job sites, and they're all wearing their PPE. They're all wearing their masks. They're working, you know, social distancing. There is a few job sites. Obviously, we had that 2 weeks of extreme heat and humidity where they were a little lax with the masks outside if it was over 90 degrees, which is understandable because it does present some breathing issues for members. But even then, I think the members and the workers were very aware and were practicing good social distancing when it was that hot, and they were keeping their distance. So seems like everything down here is moving full speed ahead. I mean, we have lots of work. There's soon to be an announcement on a two-cycle gas plant in Ohio State. It's going to provide energy for the main campus here. You know, the talks are pretty preliminary, but it looks like it's going to be about a $240 million gas plant, so that'll be good. Be a lot of work for our members. The data centers are still going strong. I know we talk about the tech giants on here all the time, and you know, those tech giants are still just pounding Ohio with data centers and office support buildings and stuff like that. So that's good. The Hilton Hotel is a full go. You know, it's very similar to the one that you guys built up there near the convention center that supports the convention center. We've discussed that. That thing is a full go, and it's broke ground, and we're starting to move ahead with that. And it's still aiming for a completion date of June of 22. And I know when we talked about the announcement of it a few years ago, that reason why they accelerated schedules, Columbus would like to have that thing ready and the rooms accounted for, so that way they can make a hard push at the Democratic and Republican conventions again in 2024. Mm-hmm. You know, we finished runner-up in 16 for the Democratic convention, and you guys got the Republican. A bit of bad news, but I don't think it's going to be bad. You know, obviously there's been talk, and you and I have talked about it a lot off-air, about sports, and, you know, the NCAA Division II and III canceled their fall championships. The University of Connecticut football Division I canceled their season. The Big Ten announced this week Big Ten only schedule, no non-conference opponents. So some of this is affecting the university's bottom line. It's also affecting the spending they're doing in construction. So on the athletic side, which, you know, anybody that's been to the main campus of Ohio State know that their athletic facilities are second to none. The Ty Tucker Tennis Center, which was going to be an outdoor stadium for tennis, about 75,000 square feet, support building with it, about $23 million. That's been put on hold, hasn't been canceled, but it's been pushed down the road a little bit. The lacrosse stadium that they were going to build for the men's and women's lacrosse teams, about a $21 million project, that's been put on hold for the time being. So in athletic building and construction, there's a little under $100 million that was approved that was probably going to get started here in the next 6 to 12 months. And that's been put on hold a little bit by the athletic department till they can figure out some of the holes in their budget and see where we're going from here. So some people might look at that and be disappointed. You know, I'm kind of looking at the glasses half full. I think that's going to help us a little bit, and it's going to extend some of these project times and some of these projects, and hopefully keep us busier even farther into the future. And we hope that everything, you know, we return to somewhat of a new normal, and we can keep, you know, keep taking the train down the track and pull it into the station. But we don't want anything to happen to Ohio State and the spending that they do, because they're such a valuable partner here in the community. But this might be a blessing, as it might prolong some of the construction being done down there.
Did I hear they might move the OSU-Michigan game to, like, middle of October or something like that? Is that what's going on?
They've moved it to October. They've moved it to October 24th. So I was looking and comparing. Obviously, you know, I'm a huge Ohio State football fan. I was looking and comparing. When they switched everything around, The only date that they kept the same was Michigan State, which that's in late October too. But yes, they did move the Ohio State Michigan game up, and I believe it's the first time since 1932 that that will not be the last regular season game played on the Ohio State schedule. So they did move that up.
And why is that? I mean, that's traditionally right before Thanksgiving. I mean, why did they do that?
I don't know what went into it. I really don't. I just don't know what went into it. I know that, you know, like I said, they're trying to reduce travel. They're trying to play conference only. You know, we were supposed to go to Oregon. That got canceled. We were supposed to host Bowling Green. That got canceled, which, ironically, that's something that nobody's talking about. A lot of these MAC schools play a lot of these Big Ten schools, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and they depend on those huge paydays for their athletic budget as well. So all those games were canceled, and I feel bad for a lot of those MAC schools, especially some of them that have tremendous, you know, football programs and tremendous history. You know, Toledo's one of them. They play Michigan every year. But I don't know what the reason was, but, you know, obviously they went into a Big Ten-only schedule with 10 games. And I think the other reason why they might have moved Ohio State Michigan up is I think they've left a couple of weeks at the end of the season and also a week in the middle where everyone is going to have a week off in case there's an outbreak or something happens where they have to postpone a week or something and they can move it. So, you know, and unfortunately, you know, I was having this discussion the other day. Unfortunately, you know, Columbus or Ann Arbor or Madison, Wisconsin, if you would call them in the fall in a normal year and say, hey, I need a hotel room, they would laugh. Now I think that they're like, you know, hey, we're going to have to move this and we're going to need, you know, 115 hotel rooms. Can you accommodate us? And they're probably doing backflips. They're so excited. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Different world. You know, the new normal.
It is.
The new normal.
The new normal. You're absolutely right.
All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll get into the Mayor's Building Trades Virtual Career Fair and also talk about our national infrastructure. Boy, we can do a lot on that one. All right, it's all part of America's Workforce. Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Angelina Drake will be joining us later. She is with an organization dealing with direct care workers, what the future holds, what we need to do to help them. It's all part of America's Workforce, back in a few.
This is America's Workforce. Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Hey, we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify. Twitter handle, AWF Union Podcast. You can follow us there. And you can follow the building trades, the Central Ohio Building Trades, at Build Central OH. We're talking to Dorsey Hager, Executive Director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You wanted to talk about this virtual career fair that the mayor did for the building trades. What's the story here, Dorsey?
Yeah, so last week we had some outreach from the mayor in his office, and he was discussing, you know, similar to what we just discussed on this show and have been talking about, you know, where are the guys at? How are they doing? Are they working safe? You know, what's the work situation like? What's the employment situation like? And the mayor was happy, surprisingly, shocked to hear that, you know, work was full go. We had full employment. Everybody who was working is wanting to work. You know, obviously we have some members that, for whatever reason, maybe they have a health issue or maybe they have an immediate family member with a health issue that have taken a furlough. But, you know, other than that, anybody who wants to work is working. And we actually have quite a few trades that are in immediate need of people right away. And a couple of those trades are the roofers, the bricklayers, and the painters and the finishers, along with the glazers. So Marvin Cochran from the roofers, Bill Hewlett from the bricklayers, and Chris Nagley from the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, along with Leland Bass from the Building Futures and myself, we're on a virtual career fair hosted and moderated by Mayor Ginther. And it was about an hour long. People were allowed to get on there and type in their questions and ask about any questions they had with either apprenticeship or the building trades or how to get into a building trades program or how to apply for a building trades job and all the trades. But we really focused on those because there was an immediate need. And, you know, the mayor, since his days back on Columbus City School Board and then, you know, on city council and president of city council, has always been a big advocate of apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship as a pathway to the middle class, especially for people who are not interested in college or maybe, you know, can't afford to go to college or, you know, just the huge expense of college right now. So he's a huge advocate of the building trades, been a big friend of ours. Obviously, he's the first mayor in the history of the city of Columbus to utilize project labor agreements, community benefit agreements, we call them here, to really promote these good paying jobs and to push the envelope here with getting more and more local residents into our building trades programs. So was highly regarded, went off very well. I got a lot of input from not only the mayor and his staff, how well it went, but also friends at City Hall and also members of the community. And they videoed the one-hour job fair, which has a ton of information, like I said, about our programs, apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship. And you can view it on our website, columbusconstruction.org, and it's also posted to Facebook and Twitter at BuildCentralOH. So it was an awesome, awesome outreach event. And it's just one of the many things that we're doing to try to continue to not only grow our programs and diversify our trades, but also do outreach to put people on that path to the middle class, you know. So it was awesome. It was really good. And I was really appreciative of the mayor for extending his offer to do that with us. And hopefully it's something that we can continue to do in the future more often. As, you know, we've talked about this thing that's going on, and the traditional job fairs are unfortunately not available right now.
Yeah, understood. Once again, just to go over the trades that are in demand right now, the roofers, the bricklayers, and you mentioned the painters and allied trades. So those are the three at the top of the list right now. I mean, we need help in all areas, but those are definitely more than the others.
We need help in all areas, but you know, if there's a glazer out there, if there's somebody interested in being a glazer or a finisher or a roofer or a bricklayer, we can really use them right now. And you know, like you said, we need help in all areas, but that's an immediate need right now. And it's very simple. Go to our website and all the information's there, who to contact, who to reach out to. And absolutely, it's a great opportunity. And I hope it's something that more people take advantage of, especially as we're seeing higher unemployment due to this pandemic at this time.
You got it. All right. Speaking of needing help here, we need some help with our infrastructure. I mean, a whole lot of help. And I still can't believe it was, what, 93 when they raised the gas tax to fund the, you know, the highway program. But it goes beyond that. I mean, we got to talk about the electrical grid. We got to talk about power plants. You mentioned the gas plant in Columbus down there. I mean, there is a need out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the story here? I mean, what's your perspective on our infrastructure right now, Dorsey?
Well, so obviously, you're right. There's been a tremendous need for infrastructure. You know, I can remember in 2008 when John McCain ran and won the presidential nominee. He talked about infrastructure, and he talked about the electrical grid. He talked about the fracking. He talked about gas-powered plants. He talked about the United States becoming energy independent. And then those conversations kind of went to the wayside as we focused on other things. You know, there was healthcare and things like that, which are all important, but boy, infrastructure can do a lot. So when President Trump was elected, one of his very first meetings was with Sean McGarvey and leaders of some of the building trades on the international level. And the one thing that he said was, you know, a lot of your members, which we admit a lot of them did, he said, a lot of your members voted for me, and the reason they voted for me is because I'm a builder. And he goes, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get infrastructure in this country, and we're going to put a lot more people to work. And that was 3.5 years ago. So right now there's an infrastructure bill, which I'm not all 100% for, and I don't totally agree, but there's an infrastructure bill that's passed the House a couple of weeks ago, and it did have cross-party line support. There was some Republicans that voted for it as well, but there was also some Democrats that voted against it, but it passed 233 to 188, and it's a $1.5 trillion infrastructure package, and they're looking to do it right now during the pandemic to obviously help with unemployment, but also rebuild our failing infrastructure. And, you know, one of the things that you just mentioned, you're absolutely right. We talk about infrastructure. We talk about roads. We talk about bridges. But a lot of people don't understand some of the power plants, some of the electrical grid, some of the things that need to be done before they fail and they have to be done. And, you know, it's like a repair on your car, a repair on your house. If you do something that needs to be done, then it's a lot cheaper than it has to be done. So why don't we do it, and why don't we take care of it now? Why don't we take care of the high unemployment due to the pandemic and get a lot of these people to work? Now, the part that I told you about that I disagree with, and I've been watching some of the interviews he's been doing on different news stations because I try to sample it all. Mark Cuban has a great interview that he did with Laura Ingraham on Fox a couple of weeks ago, and it's been bandied around on YouTube and on Twitter and on Google. And I know he's a little eccentric and he's a little out there, but man, he hits the nail on the head, and he's been talking about this since March. And he is, and I agree with him, that $1.5 trillion is nowhere enough. It needs to be somewhere between $3 and $5 trillion. And like we said, it's not just the electrical grid, it's not just roads, it's not just bridges, but we need to talk about manufacturing. We need to talk about research. We need to talk about development. I mean, you see, we're getting, you know, PPE for the pandemic from China. We're getting masks from China. You know, we had to retrofit a lot of our factories and stuff to do different medical supplies, things that we should have been producing the whole time and things that we should be working on. You know, the vaccines, the medicines, the all that stuff, the medicines that we're using for treatment, not just for COVID-19, but everything. A lot of those things are coming from European countries or even countries in Southeast Asia. And it's like he said, we have the intelligence, we have the schools here, we have the people. Those things should be done here, and we should be trying to spend money here and redeveloping our infrastructure so that those things are made here, so that when this does happen again or when there's a crisis, that we do not have to go overseas or off our shores to get the things that we need. We can get them right here.
So, Dorsey, what was the result of that conversation with Laura Ingraham? I mean, she's a staunch conservative, and you know how conservatives are with labor and labor unions. I'm just wondering, we can do it here. We can do it here. But they always come back, well, it's done cheaper in places like China. How do you respond to that?
I guess the way you respond to it is the same way that we responded back during NAFTA in the early 90s. I mean, you know, that's one of the things that I first said back then when we saw a lot of plants and manufacturing facilities here leaving Ohio and going, you know, to Mexico or to China. You know, boy, I hope we don't have another war or world war, because where are we going to manufacture tanks? Where are we going to manufacture bombs? Now it's where are we, like you said, going to manufacture medicine? Where are we going to manufacture PPE? We've got to have the places here to do that. And, you know, like I said, that's one of the biggest things that I took out of his interview that he was pushing, and I'd never thought of it like that, and he'd kind of opened it up. But it's, you know, it's not just the roads and bridges. It's the future technologies. It's the robotics. It's all those things. It's the research. It's the development. It's all the things that we need to be investing in. And, you know, you are right. There are staunch conservatives that are anti-tax, anti-growing the federal budget. They want to shrink the federal budget. But you started this off by talking about the gas tax, and that was the conversation I had when we raised the gas tax here in Ohio last year, that, you know, there are some taxes that are not giveaways that are good taxes. And this would be a tax, or this would be a fund that would create jobs and create growth in this country, which is what are needing, just like the gas tax did here in Ohio. Look at all the jobs across highways that created,
right,
you know, for lots of people. And I think that's, we have to somehow educate some of our members and some of our leaders, you know, to get them to understand that, you know, so.
Right, right. It's almost like seed money. I mean, if you're going to invest in workers, I mean, think about these workers. They're all going to be, if they're working on infrastructure, they're going to have good jobs that pay well with good benefits. They're going to spend that money in the community. They're going to pay taxes, and that's what's going to grow the economy. And I just wish more people would understand that equation, you know?
Oh, I know. I mean, we've talked about the pandemic and stuff, and where we're seeing it hit the most, and we talked about it earlier, is the hotel and restaurant industry, because people aren't going out, people aren't spending money. Obviously, people aren't traveling, people aren't staying at places. And, you know, if you can get this infrastructure bill passed, and we can get back to where people can move freely again, I think it'll really help reboost the economy and get us back on the right track. It's still just frustrating, like I said, not to get too much, but, you know, President Trump promised an infrastructure bill. It was one of the first three things that he wanted to accomplish his first 18 months. And he had the House and he had the Senate the first 2 years, and he didn't even attempt or even work on an infrastructure bill. So it's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, very frustrating. Well, at least this legislation that you reference has bipartisan support. We'll see what happens here. We're going to leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, Executive Director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. Don't forget the Twitter handle, Build Central OH, and there's a lot of building going on down there. You take care, my friend. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend, Flash. I'll talk to you soon. All right.